Some of you have asked me this question, and I don't spend a lot of time, you know, doing anything but studying the Scriptures. If I'm studying something, it's going to be the Scriptures, you know, usually. And don't have time to read books anymore or anything like that. I just study the Scriptures. I get a lot of stuff through email, a lot of things that are going on. And several of you have asked me the question, well, what about Planet X? Some of you say, Planet what? You know, you probably haven't been paying close attention to what's going on all over the internet and everything. But I'm going to tell you just a little bit about it and what I've discovered, because I asked the Lord about it, and He gave me some answers, okay? And I don't nearly believe everything that Christians are saying or the world's saying, folks. I mean, I just have a real, I think, healthy dose of skepticism, okay? I usually ask God, because I don't even trust that my mind can figure it out. I don't trust that I cannot be deceived, you understand? But I do trust that if I ask my Heavenly Father, He'll tell me the truth. So, and He did. So, everything that you hear, a lot of things that you hear about Planet X are just a bunch of paranoia. But there is some truth about it. And I'm not going to go real deep into it tonight, because I'm not really prepared to do that. You know, I haven't spent a lot of time studying up on it anymore. But I'll tell you the gist of the suspicions that are going on out there. And I'll tell you what the Lord told me about it. Okay? First of all, around 3,600 to 3,660 years ago, the Sumerians, and 3,600 to 3,660 years before that, it happened again. This happens in a cycle. The Sumerians spoke about what would have been to them a 12th planet in our solar system. They've, you know, got their statues and things like that that point out this. Well, we would call it the 10th planet, because they were considering the sun and the moon planets. Okay? We would call it our 10th planet. Okay? And that's why it's been called, in our day, Planet X. X for 10. Alright? So, as the story goes, every 3,600 to 3,660 years, this planet comes around. Well, that sounds strange, since all the planets run in a circle, right? It seems like we would have bumped into it before, right? Well, this planet is not in a circle. It's running elliptically. It's going way far out in space, and it makes a circuit every 3,600 to 3,660 years. Why is it? Why the difference? I mean, planets run pretty true to form, you know? I mean, you know, yeah, if you're going in a circle, it's true. They run through the same series of effects, okay? But when you're going into deep space and returning and being slingshotted around planets that are whose magnetic field pull is actually pulling the planet into them, there's a different effect. For instance, as this planet starts approaching our solar system, it starts being drawn into this combined magnetic pull, and it speeds up. And as it leaves, it slows down. So it's not running at the same speed. And when it comes into our solar system, each time the planets are in a different formation, because as you know, they're circling the sun at their own speed and so on and so forth. And this thing is pulled in by the other planets and slowed down. It is suspected that this planet has actually hit Earth before. I can't prove that. I'm not telling you that the Lord told me that part is true, okay? I do tell you it makes a lot of sense. Looking at what the Earth used to be when, according to Genesis, the land mass on the Earth was one. It clearly tells us that in Genesis. And that the landmass did break apart in the days of Peleg and was spread out. Well, if you look at that, what scientists are saying is that Earth used to be a half a planet. And the Sumerians are the ones that said, years ago, you know the Sumerians, who they are? They were the ancestors of the Chaldeans, who were the ancestors of the Iraqis, you know, basically. and other people, the Kurds, and so on and so forth. What the Sumerians are saying is they experienced a little more than 3,600 years ago this planet coming through the solar system. They called it Nibiru. And they called it that because it means planet of the crossing. They symbolized this planet in their art and in their architectural things that they built. They symbolized it as a cross. Some of the ancient people, which there are records, by the way, of not just the Sumerians, but other parts of the world when this planet crossed and what and its effects upon the earth. And they sound strangely like the time of the judgments of the book of Exodus. Very interesting. Even there were other reports around the world that the waters turned to blood at that time. Same thing that happened in Exodus. But it was like the earth was going through the tail of this Nibiru and being pelted with these meteorites, and some of it possibly as small as sand, and it was turning the water blood red. You say, well, I thought God did that, David. We're not trying to explain away God's supernatural power. Of course not. But I tell you, God does everything. I don't know if you read that in the Word or not. He does everything. Nibiru too. He does everything. He works all things at the counsel of His will. All things. We're not taking anything from God. God is the great coordinator. He uses any method He so desires to bring to pass the things that He does. But He does them. And nothing happens without His will, permission, anything, any way you want to take it. Okay. Nothing happens without Him. Even Satan, folks. Read the book of Job. Everything. So, this Nibiru, they've known about it for many, many years. Because it has, in fact, NASA discovered it back in 1983. They publicly said so, that they discovered this other planet that was coming. Okay. Well, the reason, at first they saw, did you know that a lot of the planets were discovered not by sight at first, but by effect. Their effect on other planets. They were seen to disturb other planets, and so they knew something was there even before they saw it. The same was true with Nibiru, you know, something, or Planet X. They knew from Neptune and Uranus that there was another planet out there affecting their magnetic movements. So they eventually did see it. And they reported it, NASA reported it, in 1983. After they reported it, they became strangely quiet. They shut the whole thing up. They covered the whole thing up. People are suspecting that the reason they're so quiet about it, even today, when you ask them about it, they don't want to talk about it, is that it is on a course that's going to bring it by planet Earth. What the scientists are saying, now let me tell you this, If just Christians were saying this, I would be extremely suspicious. Because there are so many paranoid Christians out there, and so many Christians out there that have their own axe to grind, and they're expecting something terrible to happen, so they just, you know, they fall in with any theory. Okay? But let me tell you, there is an increasing chorus of scientists that don't have anything to do with Christianity that are saying, yes, it's there. Yes, it's coming. Okay. Some people are saying that it will come pretty soon. Now, what the Sumerians said was that when it does come, it will affect Earth for 7 years in a row. Very strangely, for 7 years in a row. There will be earthquakes. Great earthquakes. There will be floods. There will be places where water disappears, like at the Exodus. There will be there will be meteorite showers. Because here's what they figure. They figure that as it passes between the Earth and the Sun, that the Earth is actually going to pass through the tail of Nibiru 7 times. That's right. Sounds like the 7 years, doesn't it? 7 times, 7 years. So it's going to pass through that tail for 7 years, and the tail of it is just full of meteorites. Meteors and meteorites. Right? So they're expecting some of the things that the book of Revelation speaks about when it passes through the tail of this planet. How do they figure these things? I don't know, folks, but they say that this planet, I think they said this planet is 5 to 10 times bigger than the Earth, but it's 100 times more dense than the Earth. It has a much stronger magnetic field than the Earth and will totally disturb other planets. In fact, they're saying that they are disturbing other planets now. It is disturbing other planets now, including the Sun. The Sun is supposed to, in the year 2000, gone through its cycle, its sunspot cycle, and they say it never slowed down after 2000. It's been hitting the Earth with energy and causing earthquakes under the poles and earthquakes in other places. This is what many scientists are saying. They say that energy is coming from the Sun and is doing this. Some scientists are saying that the reason that the planet is heating up is causing the poles to melt. But other scientists are saying, now you know better than that, because they're melting from beneath. They're melting from the energy that is coming out of the reactor that the Earth is, the nuclear reactor that the Earth is. And that the Sun's energy is stirring up the energy in the center of the Earth to cause this melting. Okay? Again, I'm repeating stuff that a lot of scientists who have studied it are saying. What happened to me was, I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm asking you, I don't trust anybody, Lord, I don't trust you. I'm asking you to tell me if there is a planet X, because I can't see it. And you may wonder why some people can't see it. I'll answer you that in a minute. If there is a planet X, and if it's coming this way. And I said, if it is, Lord, I kind of woke up in the night thinking about it, because people had sent me a lot of stuff. And I asked the Lord, I said, if it is, Lord, I'm asking that when I look at the clock in the morning, there will be a 10 in that number. Well, I woke up in the morning, I turned and looked at the clock, and it was kind of late for me. It was 7:10. And the next time I looked at the clock during the day and remembered it and thought about it, it was 5:10. I know the Lord answered me. Some of you think, well, that's crazy. No, I know the Lord answered me. I'm telling you, there is a planet coming, and it is going to be trouble for planet Earth. Why can't people see it? Well, this is what all the scientists are saying. They're saying that this thing is coming at the Earth from the South Pole, straight at the South Pole. It don't run in the same circle as the rest of the planets. It's elliptical. It's coming, making a circle, being pulled into our solar system, and going to be coming from the direction of the South Pole. Say, well, why can't they see it? Well, for some strange reason, some of our satellites have put software on the satellites to not permit you to be able to pick up what they're picturing when they point in that direction. They will shut them down. They also, from what I'm understanding, broke some observatories that are south of the equator, which have the ability to see this. They broke them. They won't talk about it. Well, I'm just telling you what the Lord told me. There is a planet X, and it is coming. Okay? I'm not suggesting that all the stuff you read out there is true, because I can tell you a lot of it isn't true. One thing they're saying that the demon angels are on planet X. Well, I'll tell you what, folks, that's just silly. And there's been first of all, angels don't need to live on no planet. You know, that's just totally ridiculous. They're trying to say that, of course, the angels who, in their theories, mated with women on Earth and brought forth the giants, they live on that planet. Well, I don't believe it. I think it's some more, you know, even the the Jews had what Paul called the old wives' tales. They passed on traditions that are just like the paranoid people today, folks. They're just, you can't believe everything you hear. Be careful. Ask the Lord about everything, because He'll tell you the truth. You know? So I don't believe that. I think it's pure baloney. No doubt, there are demons that are going to be very active during the 7 years of tribulation. If it happens to be the 7 years that Nibiru is affecting the earth and doing the things that appear to look like happened in Exodus and are going to happen again in the book of Revelation. Here's something else interesting. This came to me. That's because it was a red planet with a red tail, some of the ancients called it a dragon. Now, folks, there are people that are predicting this thing to start passing the earth this year, and others next year. Some made the mistake of saying it was going to happen in 2003 or 2004. I forget. Either way, let me tell you something. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 12 that a great sign was seen in heaven. Now, I'm not leaving out the zodiac, and I want to tell you that the Bible mentions the signs of the zodiac several times, especially in the book of Job. The zodiac wasn't always used to predict the future, and it wasn't always an occultic thing. God spoke about it in the Bible. God put the stars up there, and He put them in those positions for a purpose. And they do tell the gospel. I can tell you right now. The man-child is up there in the stars, and the woman is up there, and the dragon is up there. So we do have a sign in heaven already. But I'm going to tell you what came to me, and I'm not saying thus saith the Lord, but I want to point out something to you, that there was a great sign seen in heaven. A dragon. The dragon was waiting for the man-child to be born. The dragon first appears in Revelation chapter 12 when the man-child is born. Now, you know that I've been saying that I thought we were very, very close to this. In fact, I have a suspicion that it'll happen in 2006, around September of 2006. Just suppose the dragon is going to show up, a sign in heaven, what they used to call the dragon. Another thing they called, the symbol that they gave to this planet was the cross. I saw some of the crosses on their art, the Sumerians' art, and they symbolized this planet with a cross. But yeah, a cross. They also symbolized this planet as a globe with wings. Because it comes and it goes. It's not like the rest of the planets. It comes and then it disappears and then it comes again. Well, just think of this dragon, folks. A sign was seen in heaven. A great red dragon. Coming at the time the man-child is born. Point something else out to you. The tail of the dragon cast a third of the stars of heaven to the earth. And I pointed out to you that symbolically, the stars there are talking about Abraham's seed, because they were called the stars of heaven. However, do you know that if stars fall to the earth, there won't be an earth. If you're talking about literal stars, there just wouldn't be an earth left. But the tail of this dragon has shooting stars or falling stars in it. You know, I used to see when I was a kid, I'd look up at the sky at night, I'd be out at night, and I'd see shooting stars all the time. For some reason, I don't see them anymore. I guess I'm not out there looking for them like I used to be, but when I was a kid, I would see them all the time, just streak across the sky, you know. And I'm thinking about this earth going through the tail of this dragon and these stars hitting the earth. Do you know that most all signs that speak of spiritual things have their basis in physical things. Even Jesus' parables were true physically, but they were true spiritually. So, I'm thinking, you know, it's going to take 7 years for the head of the dragon to come, And 7 years later, at the beginning of the 7 years, the head of the dragon would come. At the end of the 7 years, the tail would pass, and those people who had not overcome during the tribulation would be cast down from heaven. They would lose their position in heaven. I'm just suggesting to you that possibly there is a real sign that will affect the whole earth and that everybody will see that will symbolize the tribulation period. I can give you more information if I study into it, but this is just things that I have read about that are coming out of my mind right now. I didn't even think I could go this far as giving you a lot of information. There's a lot of information out there. There's a man who wrote When Planets Collide. I forget exactly what his name was. He's a famous man. But he collected information from around the globe of people who actually saw this and wrote it in their literature, 3,600 years ago. And this thing was known by the whole planet 3,600 years ago. Well, it's been lost to us because when this thing makes an elliptical orbit, we don't know about it. It ain't been here, right? We haven't counted it as our planet. But it's in history, and it's been written down, and it's been in art, and it's been a big question in people's minds. So I just say pray about it. I think the Lord will give us more and more revelation about it. I'm sure it's coming. I don't know when. I can't tell you when. And I don't think they can tell you exactly when because it speeds up and slows down, according to the solar system's kind of like an electric motor. It's driven by electrical magnetic impulses, I know a little bit about electric motors. I used to run an electric motor shop. There was a period when I ran a very great, very large electric motor shop for Exxon Refinery in Baton Rouge, and we had motors as big as the room I'm in right now, and all the way down to little tiny ones, there's things that affect the speed with which the rotor will run, like the distance between the rotor and the stator. When you narrow that distance, it has more power. The solar system works that way. You see, the closer planets get, the faster they go because of the magnetic field, you see. So I don't know a lot about science, and I'm not trying to tell you I do. I'm just trying to tie a few things together here. I believe that the world is going to be shaken. I've always believed that. But now I'm seeing another possibility for the reason why it's going to be shaken. Okay? Don't claim to be a scientist. Don't claim to know a lot about it. But you pray about it, and I warn you, don't believe everything you read out there. Yeah, Kurt, you had something?
I was just going to say, wasn't it last year, the year before, that Halley's Comet came through, and there was hundreds and thousands of fallen stars?
Yeah.
Because I took the boys out on the beach and we looked at them mid-term. I think we're not one time. So, if that was happening, this could be the situation.
Oh, yes, definitely. And in the last year or so, we've had an awful lot of reports of meteorites hitting the earth. God is going to shake this world, and thank God he's going to do it, because no other way would mankind fear the Lord or consider his word. Don't try to pray these things off. There's too many people trying to do that, folks. Look, this stuff's coming because God loves people. Shaking is coming because God loves people. And if you don't understand election, you don't understand that God causes the wicked to come in the stead of the righteous, and he uses them as a demonstration in order to cause people to fear God. But he will protect the righteous. He will preserve the righteous. And even to the extent of when you leave this life, you'll be totally preserved. So, it's not a big thing for us, folks. Don't fear anything but God, right? Because God is in control. Remember, in the land of Egypt, when these judgments fell upon Egypt, it was not to destroy the Israelites. He brought wrath upon the Egyptians to motivate the Israelites to come out of Egypt. That was the whole point. God protected his people. Well, he's going to do it again, because the things that have been are the things that shall be. God's going to protect his people. Don't fear. Instead, use the opportunity of the great shakings that are coming to get the gospel out, because suddenly you're going to find that people are going to be more motivated than before, right? The fear of the Lord will return to some who have a gift to have that. Most of the world will never fear God. They'll shake their fist in His face. They don't care about Him. And they're not drawn. And no one can come, even if you do shake the earth, unless God draws. No one can come. Ephesians 2 and 8 says that faith is a gift from God, not of works, right? A gift from God. It doesn't matter how much... See, God uses a combination of things to bring people to Him. He restores the fear of the Lord through His mighty shakings. He grants the gift of faith for people to believe. The Bible says He grants repentance, right? Without any of these, you don't come to God. God is in control of all of this. Remember, folks, God chose Israel in the Old Testament. Some people say, well, God don't do that. That would be unrighteous of God. Well, who are you to say what's unrighteous of God? Shall the thing form say to Him that formed it, why did you make me thus? Doesn't the potter have a right over the same lump of clay to make one part unto honor and another part unto dishonor? Who are you to say that God can't do this? Let me point it out to you. If it is unrighteous, then God's been unrighteous for a long time. Because when you go back in the Old Testament, folks, God chose little bitty Israel to be His called people. And out of that larger group of people, He brought a chosen people. Okay? He called His son out of Egypt. He didn't say Egypt was His son. He said He called His son out of Egypt. If God was unrighteous to choose one people over another, He's been unrighteous for a long time, folks. But God is not unrighteous. He knows what He's doing, and He can do what He wants to do with His clay. The whole world will get justice, but God's people will get mercy. You understand the difference? You don't deserve anything more than justice. And God is always just. He was just to destroy everybody under that ark. But He was merciful with the people that were in that ark. You understand? Noah found grace. That's favor in the eyes of the Lord. So look, God's going to give justice to the whole world, but He's going to give mercy to a few. He can do that. This is His clay. Don't tell Him what He can do, what He can't do. Read Romans 9 if you don't believe it. He rebukes any kind of such thought as that. And you say, do you believe in election and predestination? I believe it because the Bible says it. And if you don't think it says it, then tear those pages out of your book. But the truth is, God says it. He believes it. He means it. And it's the truth. So, our puny reasoning has got no business judging God. What His Word says is true, except all of it. Not just the parts your religion accepts, except all of it. If you don't believe what I said, you go read it for yourself, okay? Or you can go on our site, because we have teachings on election and predestination and so on and so forth. We're not leaving out free will. We deal with free will in that too, because I believe in free will. Okay? I also believe that before we come to God, we're bound in sin and shapen to iniquity. And you don't have a free will if you're bound to sin, folks. You ask the alcoholic to give up his alcohol. You ask the sinner to give up his sin. And just see if he's got a free will. The Lord is the only one that gives people free will. And He gives you that by giving you His will. If you got His will, you got a free will. If you don't, you're bound. Okay? And you can't choose Christ. Jesus said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. You didn't choose me, I chose you. We don't have the ability with a sinner's heart to choose Christ. He is the one that draws us. He is the one that gives us a gift to come. It is by grace. It is not by works. It's by grace from the beginning, before you ever even have a thought towards God. It starts there with God's grace. See? So, re-examine what the Scripture has to say about this. Okay? God, everything is mercy from God, or justice. The world is going to get justice. Great shakings are going to come. God's going to grant repentance to multitudes of people. There is going to be a great revival. But it's still, like was read earlier by Darren, it's still a narrow road. Even today in the church, folks, there are a few people who are on the narrow road. The rest of the church folks are on the broad road. And they will fight and they will persecute and they will speak against the Word of God. Don't trust these people. I've said a lot. Somebody else want to say something? God bless you. I think we're very close to some great shaking, but just remember, God is on your side. He loves you. He's created this whole world for you. He's created this whole solar system for you. He has prepared everything to bring in a great harvest in these end times. So trust in the Lord your God. Don't be moved by what you see. That's why you got to learn to walk by faith. Don't be moved by what you see, or you'll be fearful. And fear is permission to the devil. Do you understand that? Don't fear, because it is faith in the devil. It is faith in the curse. The person who fears, they fear because they believe that they are under the curse. And they believe that the devil does have a free hand with them. They don't believe in a sovereign God, you know. Don't fear. Fear not. I'm told, I don't know if this is true, but I am told that we're basically told the message of fear not 365 times in the Bible. That's kind of interesting. Once for every day of the year, right? I never have counted them, but people say that, you know, it could be another one of those old wives' tales. I don't know. But I do know it says it very often. And the truth is, you know, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. We need to put our faith in the living God who has created all things for our good and works all things for our good. And He will bring us through this, and He will give us an opportunity to be wonderful evangelists, because the opportunity for other people to hear and to listen is coming. But the things you've been praying for are coming. Now, don't try to pray them away, because the things you've been praying for are coming. They're not going to come the way some of you have expected them to come. When you start praying for lost loved ones around you, and God starts shaking things, don't be begging God to stop all that. There'll be times and instances when He will do it for a demonstration of the power of God and a demonstration of His mercy. But there'll be other times when He won't do it. I'll give you a really good example. When Jesus spoke in Matthew 24 about the judgment that was going to fall upon Israel, He never one time said, and if anybody could have done it, it would have been Him. He never one time said, Father, don't let this happen. And when Peter was being sorely tempted of the devil, He didn't say one time, don't let this happen, or I forbid you, devil, or whatever, you know. He didn't say that one time. He said that Satan has desired to tempt you, or to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you that your faith wouldn't fail. In other words, Peter had to go through that trial. And he had to go through the failure, because he was self-willed and he was self-confident and he needed to lose that. And God knew just how to do it. So, fear not what we're going to go through. Put your trust in God. Love Him. And get ready. Get ready to be evangelists, to do the work of evangelists, and to share the gospel with the people around you, because they're not going to know what's going on. They're going to be lied to for the purposes of, most of the time, money. You understand the government, if something like this was coming, the government would tell you. If a great catastrophe was coming and they knew it, they wouldn't tell you. You know why? Because if they're not absolutely sure, they know that it would destroy the economy. They've tried to cover up every time terrorists have knocked down a plane. Did you know that? They've tried to do it. But the Bible code's plain that Flight 800 was shot down by a missile. And they know it too. And there were 900 and some odd people who gave testimony that they saw it shot down with a missile. So why the cover-up? Well, it's simple. If you don't have faith that you can get on a plane, it's going to hurt the economy. And they know it. Now, they're looking out for you. You can believe that. They're looking out for you. But most of them have, you know, the people who are in control have a lot to lose. And so, they manipulate. They're more interested in their money than they are in you. But the truth is, they manipulate. We've got about 10 more minutes, and then we're going to be swapping over. If I get time, I'm going to look into this some more and get some more facts, you know. Again, I don't trust in myself to be able to decide what's right and what's wrong concerning this. I've looked at some things, some principles that the Lord has shown me through the years, and kind of tried to apply them to this, but I did get a word from the Lord. And I know that this thing is coming. I don't know exactly when. Some people are actually saying that we're going to start feeling the effects imminently of this planet coming into the solar system. And the sun is actually having effects from it now. So, either way, trust in the Lord your God. These are going to be exciting days. The whole globe is going to be shaken. Yeah, Bob?
I'm just trying to think what it is that we've seen in the past whenever the sun would have these solar flare-ups. It would affect what the weather and things like
yes.
that.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Earthquakes, things in the earth. It disturbs the earth. It disturbs other planets. They're saying, now, the scientists are saying boldly that something is affecting the sun. Because in the year 2000, this was all supposed to drop off. Instead, it's increased. So, all of a sudden, we've broken a normal cycle.
Well, the scripture says that in the last days there will be an increase in natural phenomena, disastrous phenomena, earthquakes, volcanoes, signs in the sky. Mm-hhmm. That we're not to fear when we see those things, but know that it's the beginning of the end. Yeah. And so that our faith has to be on the Lord our God. Our faith has to be that our Father, who knows the end from the beginning, has a plan to work through. And if we will trust in Him, He will keep our hearts steadfast and fearless in this day. So if someone speaks, the sky is falling, you can answer and say, only by the will of my Father.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. And if you will walk with the Lord, He will separate Goshen from Egypt. Right?
Yes.
Thank you, Father. The signs in the sun and moon and stars, blood, fire, vapor of smoke, all things that they did report, by the way, 3,600 years ago. Pretty neat, I think.
There was a website that I was looking at about this Planet X that I posted on there. He's a very worldly Christian at best, but has a lot of good information on the site. And, but other than that, I mean, just the orbit, NASA's projected orbit of this Planet X and stuff like that. It's really neat to see the pictures of it.
It's interesting to know that you're that close to the end, folks. You know, some people are trying to put it off thousands and thousands of years, you know, even Christians. But the truth is, things are winding up. And won't it be great? I mean, just think about it. It won't be long now. It won't be long now. And, you know, I think the Lord... Since the time I came to the Lord, I thought the Lord was coming just around the corner, and He always keeps us on our toes like that, doesn't He? The consciousness that... And the truth is, He may come for you tomorrow. You know, you don't ever know when the Lord's going to come for you, right? So it's really good to be on your toes and live every day like it could be your last. And that, what would you do if you knew that this was your last day? You know, how would you live your life, and what kind of relationship would you have with the Lord and your fellow man? You know, what would you do? How would you live? Well, I don't know about you, but I've had that kind of consciousness for over 30 years. You know, the fear of the Lord, the realization that this is the end, it kind of keeps you on your toes, you know. So if the Lord don't come in 2006, I mean, or the tribulation don't, excuse me, doesn't start in 2006, it won't bother me. I'll just see it as a more opportunity to get the word out. But folks, let me say this. You say, let's keep putting this thing off. Let's keep praying it off. We'll pray it off. We'll pray it off. Look, folks, more and more people are being born on this earth. And the overwhelming majority of them are choosing not to serve God. Why? Where's the reason in this? Why put it off? Why would we want to keep putting it off? You know, more multitudes of people will choose to follow their father, the devil, and turn away from God. why to put it off. I'm not asking for the judgment of the great day of the Lord. I just know it's inevitable. And I know that there's going to be a great harvest in the days before. And I'm looking forward to the things that God has told me that's going to happen in the church in those days. That's what I'm looking forward to, the church actually being the church. The called out ones, you know. And I'm looking forward to the great revival among God's people where that they will walk as Jesus walked, just like they did in the Gospels. I'm looking forward to these things. And, yeah, Bob?
Yeah, very quickly, as I know we're running out of time here, but we looked before when we studied the writers in the book of Revelation, and we looked at the first writer as being the writer on the first horse, and we kind of thought that it very possibly might be that that writer would be the man-child and the advent of the man-child coming onto the scene just prior to judgment, that before judgment comes, knowledge is given. So that we could actually start, I mean, it could be September of 2006, and yet it would not be a most eventful period from the standpoint of catastrophic judgment, perhaps, because what's going to be given is knowledge and signs and wonders. Things like that. So it could be a while before things really wind up.
Sure, sure. But if this is about to happen, we will see a sudden change in things going on here, and massive confusion in the world of worldly people. But a great opportunity to share the gospel, and great persecution too. So. Things could change very quickly, very quickly. Anybody else have a revelation or something to share? We're just about to go into our radio program here in just a few minutes.
Things really get to be a buzz, just like Y2K did when the world gets kind of tuned into it. You saw all the preparations that people made for Y2K.
Yeah.
And I'm quite certain it would be similar to that whenever they finally do dial in this Planet X, if that is the case.
People will start making their carnal preparations, but I'll tell you what,
they're undergrounds.
Yeah, right. But there ain't much preparation you can make except walk with the Lord. That's about the best preparation you can make. You can't carry it all with you, that's for sure.
Linda, she's joining us on the telephone. So, that each one of us belongs to the 12 tribes spiritually, not physically. We're sons of Abraham through faith, not through flesh. And he is an Israelite who is not one outwardly, you know, but inwardly. Circumcision of the heart, right? So I believe that just as there were 12 apostles, there could very well be 12 very important apostles in the New Testament. As you know, the first apostles were Jews. Possibly these are Gentiles. I don't know that to be a fact, and I'm not saying thus saith the Lord. I'm just telling you a thought. Okay, it could be that way. If I was more sure, if the Lord had given me a word of knowledge and give me some scripture to back it up, I'd be pretty strong on it. But I'm not. So, but I'm guessing that it could be that way. You know, he told the first apostles that they would sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And I take that to mean that they would be the judges of the natural Israelites, the natural tribes, so on and so forth. And so I'm thinking that the same is true of the Gentiles. I'll probably think that until the Lord shows me differently, if he does, you know. Anybody else have a question or revelation?
Yeah. John England has his hand up.
Okay.
Speak.
Hi, David. So good to join you. I'm enjoying this. I've been spending hundreds of hours on the website, but it's nice to be in person. I return the mic.
Hi, John. God bless you. Glad to have you with us. Usually, you know, I'm not able to carry on a conversation with you when you got the mics. You know, I guess you probably realize that, but until we get the mic back. Anytime anybody comes on and starts speaking, just go ahead. You know, Gary will give you a signal to make sure you know that we're hearing you, but just go ahead and talk, you know. So, yeah, John, it's good to have you with us. God bless you. I got your email the other day, in fact. Brother, are you prepared? Are you getting prepared for the things that are coming? Get in the Word of God and get it in your heart, because Jesus is going to have no problem with these things that are coming. We need to put Jesus Christ in our heart, the Word of God. He is the overcomer of this world. And put your trust in God. Spend time in the Word daily. It's even more important than spending time in church, as people call it. Spend time in it daily. Ask the Lord to draw you into that Word. Give you a hunger to read the Word of God. There's nothing more important. I preach to people all the time. They don't need books. They need to stay in the Word of God. And people always point out to me, "But David, you wrote a book." Yeah, well, I wrote a couple of books, you know, and I'm working on a third book. But I think when you look in those books, you see that there's an awful lot of the Word of God in there. Everything anybody could write is second best to the Word of God. I try to put the Word of God together so that people can see it in one place and come to some conclusions, you know, concerning it. But there's nothing more important than the Word of God in your life. Ask God to put it in your heart to desire and to search Him out in the Word. He will speak to you daily. You know, you need the fivefold ministry to come into maturity, according to what Ephesians says. And let me tell you, folks, some of you don't have any opportunity to be around the fivefold ministry unless you're in the Word of God. Because you know it's there. It's all there. It's all written. You need the fellowship of the saints because they are able to see your problems when you're not able to see them. They are able to bring edification and consolation to you that you can't get on your own. God has decided that the body is made to edify one another, to build up one another, and that He won't permit that by yourself. I know I run into a lot of people out there that they don't feel like they need the rest of the body, or they feel like they're, you know, the fellowship that they've been in is useless, and I agree that a lot of them are useless, and I'm not trying to force you to go back into something that's totally apostate or that's leaven, you know, but to the best of your ability, you know, find fellowship. Now, I know that what we're doing here is second best. It's not like you're able to carry on conversations and receive edifications of the different gifts totally in this way. It's second best, but God says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. You know, so if it's possible, find some spiritual brethren to fellowship with. And, of course, Pal Talk is good. Our fellowship is good. I enjoy it. And I hope you're enjoying it. But still, you need to spend time in the Word of God. When I first came in to the kingdom, I had that strong, strong desire to study the Word. And for some time after that, I had that strong, strong desire. But there came times when I felt this desire leaving, and I realized that this was a powerful, precious gift from God. So I would ask God to bring it back. And you know what? He would do that. He would bring it back. You know why I thought it was so powerful? It's because there were a lot of people that came into the kingdom the same time I did. But these people were unstable. Many of them were unstable. Many of them went back into the world. Many of them failed God in so many ways. And I realized that it was only grace that kept me, and that grace was powerful through the Word of God. Because when you put the Word of God in you, you're going to outgrow people all around you. The Word of God is Jesus Christ. Outgrowing people is manifesting Him. Outgrowing the people that come into the kingdom the same time as you. Many God's people fall back into the world because they don't ever have a hunger to feed upon the things that cause them to grow up. So pray. It's all by grace, folks. It's all by grace. It's not by our works. You go and ask God for everything you need. My God shall supply your every need. You ask Him everything for everything you need, and He will do it. It's not by works, right? Any desire that you need in your heart, ask Him to put it there, and He'll do it. And any grace that you need to repent and turn away from the things of the world, ask Him, and He'll put it there. It's all by grace. Trust in Him. He's going to finish the good work He started in you. That's what the Word says. Trust in Him. Have another question, Terry?
Lots of questions. Could you explain John 21:7?
By the grace of God. I don't claim a lot of intelligence, folks, you know. Sometimes God gives me an answer for people, and sometimes not. John, what? 21?
21 and 7.
Okay, 21 and 7. The disciple, therefore, whom Jesus loved, saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Is that the verse?
Not 21. That's what I was given.
Okay. So, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded up his coat about him, for he was naked, and cast himself into the sea.
Oh, I can see a question there.
What is the question?
That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord, and Simon...
The disciple was John.
I think, the disciple was John,
yes.
But...
Because he always...
When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, but John was speaking this, but Peter heard it was the Lord.
Yeah.
See, I see where the question is. It's like, you know, John said it, but Peter said it was the Lord.
Yeah. John is relating what
right.
Peter said.
Right.
Yeah. The book of John, you know, John didn't magnify himself. He didn't point out himself. Push himself forward. He just called himself the disciple that Jesus loved. I'm not sure exactly what your question is. Maybe you could ask it again.
Let's see what the next question was. Does anyone know if the economic collapse is before or after the start of the tribulation?
Well, I believe it's somewhat before and somewhat after, because we're actually in an economic collapse now. And there will come a time when martial law will be necessary. And I don't believe in a total economic collapse. As some people have said, very early in the tribulation, and I'll tell you why. Because the harlot rides the beast all the way through the tribulation, and she's destroyed at the end of the tribulation. The 10 kings destroy the harlot. She's a queen sitting upon the 7-headed, 10-horned beast. And Babylon, she's called Babylon. Babylon was the great eagle. I'm not denying the fact that Babylon is also a religious entity, but it's also a secular entity. And America is a Babylon. America is the great evil. History repeats. God identified the great eagle in the Old Testament as Babylon, and it's still the great eagle today. America is not going to totally crumble before the end.
Because America is going to ride on the back of that United Nation beast. All nations are in that beast. All nations of lost people are in that beast. We're the only people that are not involved in that beast because we belong to one holy nation, the Bible says. And that nation is spiritual Israel. Spiritual New Testament Israel. But America rides that beast. And by the way, the beast that the harlot rides in Revelation 17 is the beast of the second 3.5 years. Not the first 3.5 years. It's the 7-head, 10-horned beast. Not the 7-head, 10-horned dragon. Right? So America's riding that thing when she falls. Now, I believe that if America totally lost her economy, that she wouldn't be able to do that. You know, right now, the Russians and the Chinese are making war through militant Muslims on America to try to destroy the economy because they know you don't have any military power without an economy. And I know what I just said, I know that for a fact because I had a vision about it. But they are supporting and supplying militant Muslims to make war on America. We'll talk about that one day. I don't want to do it now, but at any rate, America cannot totally lose her economy. Now, I'm not saying that it won't change a lot. It won't change its basis a lot. But it can't be totally destroyed until the very end. But we see it crumbling now. I mean, the New World Order, part of that is going to be for the purpose of rearranging and redesigning the economy. And a great change is coming about the middle of the tribulation period. It's a great change in the economy. But it's still not going to totally crumble. I believe that America's about to get hit again. And again the economy will fall. There's a revelation on my site. It's a very good one. I'm thinking that it came through Bob Newman. He had a revelation of the bull. Go and read it. I don't remember exactly what the name of it was. It had something to do with the bull, though. And, of course, that's the bull economy. And it was struck. This bull was struck again and again and again. Until, ultimately, it was drawn and quartered and carried off. And, folks, that's where the economy is going to totally crumble and totally fall apart. Is when this nation is invaded and plundered and carried off. But from the beginning, that bull was struck again and again and again and weakened every time, you see. I think that's the way it's going to happen. It's not going to totally crumble before the tribulation period. It's not going to happen. America is going to rule the world in the foreseeable future. America is going to conquer the Middle East as much as you can possibly conquer the Middle East. Kind of like Israel ruling over the Palestinians. You've got a tiger by the tail there, you know. America is going to continue to go through Middle Eastern nations. And you can't do that without an economy. God has ordained for America to walk in the steps of Babylon, like Jeremiah 25 talks about. Jeremiah 25 are the nations that Babylon conquered. They are the same nations that America's conquered. I mean, America's throwing their weight around with Syria and Iran, and one way or the other, either economically or politically or militarily, they will conquer those nations. You read it, Jeremiah 25. Some of the nations are there using their old names, but it's those nations, the same ones. And that is, of course, Iraq and Syria and Iran and Jordan and Lebanon and Israel, so on. Any other questions here?